men.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs. Off for step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean. I'm saying hello from my hotel in New York City. Did the game last night in Madison Square Garden. I'll be doing the game tomorrow night, filling in for the great Tim Roy at Barclays Center when the Warriors take on the Brooklyn Nets. And later on in the show, we'll be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652 later on in the show. If you want to talk Dubs with Saint Nye again, that number is 888-957-9570. Again, 888-957-9570. So, Gary, great game last night. Great second half as the Warriors defeat the New York Knicks 114-102. And Stephen Curry just working his MSG magic. Of course, he hurt his ankle against the Charlotte Hornets the night before. There was a little concern whether he was going to play or not, but Steve Kerr said pregame, look, it's the Garden. He only gets one of these a year. He loves playing here. And not only did he play, Saint, he delivered.
Well, you know, it was a kind of a quiet first half, and he hit a couple in the third. Went for a loose ball, knocked over a beer or water in front of Spike Lee. Smiled, a timeout, a pause in play. He went over and wiped the floor. And then he came back as the game progressed into the late third and fourth, and he made a couple of vintage Steph Curry threes, and the place was going crazy. We'll talk about what it's like to play or coach there. And he almost, you know, he gave almost a full night-night signal. He was asking the bench whether he should do it. And I just thought he really, really enjoyed playing in Madison Square Garden last night.
Oh, that he did. 5 of 9 from deep, 28.7 rebounds, 9 assists on that bum ankles. He mentioned some absolute back-breaking threes, the one to ice it to make it an 11-point lead in the final 90 seconds. And of course, the 2009 NBA draft was at Madison Square Garden. I actually worked it. I was an intern for Jay Billis. And so this is the place where his NBA career started. That's where he found out he was going to be a Warrior. Of course, he was taken one pick before the Knicks at 8. And Saint, since we're on the radio, I'm just going to share a secret with you that hopefully no one else hears here. But I was a manager for the Stanford basketball team. So at that time, like I wanted a big man as a Warriors fan, and I was partial to Jordan Hill, who I was hoping the Warriors would draft seventh overall. Don't tell anyone else I said that. I think they made the right choice by taking Stephen Curry at number 7 instead.
Well, you know, Nelly's always loved talented players, and he was at the forefront of that, and the entire staff, and that just set the tone for this career, his career, and, you know, playing with the Warriors. It's been a fantastic run. And, you know, I think the Knicks fans are as smart about the NBA basketball as any place in the NBA. And, boy, I thought they really enjoyed the performance.
Yeah, that they did. They always appreciate a showman, and Stephen Curry, definitely a showman, doing big-time work for the Warriors last night. Now, Saint, you listed, we were texting about great places to coach or play, and this was one of the places you named. What was it like coaching at Madison Square Garden when you were on the opposing bench?
Well, you know, being there with Nelly in the late 70s and early 80s, Hubie Brown was coaching, and, you know, he was a very conventional coach. Nelly coached out of the box, and we beat them 14 straight times. You know, we were both in the Eastern Conference, and Nelly used to get a chuckle out of that because we'd do it the kind of different kind of way, and it infuriated the Knicks people. And, you know, I just remember so many great things. There was a clock operator. His name was Feats Brody.
And Feats Brody, that's a hell of a name.
Yeah, great name. And then he'd kind of late game hold that clock a little bit for the Knicks. You know, it was a handheld thing. And then the announcer's name, and the guy there now does a great job, but the guy back then was a guy named John Condon. Welcome to the wonderful world of Madison Square Garden. And he was a great boxing promoter. And those two guys were so welcoming to everybody that came in there. And, you know, Marv Albert was doing the games then. And it's just special. And I fast forward to when, Patrick Ewing was playing and all of that great stuff. And then going in there with Mully, and that was special. You know, him coming back to the Garden and great matchups there. And then, I went on to coach the Kings and coming back there. And my good pal Ernie Grunfeld gave me some tickets for my family to come down on the train from Massachusetts, and great seats. And I'm going off the floor, and we had upset them. And my brother leans over the railing as we went off the middle of the court and gives me a big kiss. And that made SportsCenter. And one night we beat Nelly's team 132-128, and Brian Grant, Walt Williams, and Mitch Richmond all scored around 30. It was a great, great game. We were supposed to meet at Mickey Mantle's, which was a great restaurant bar up by Central Park, by the St. Regis Hotel. And Nelly was so infuriated that he lost. He sent the ball boy down to the locker room to tell me that they weren't coming. My last story is that I don't know which way you came in. Did you come up the elevator or did you go up the ramp?
So when they dropped us off the bus, you have to walk up that big ramp.
Okay, so if you get dropped off there on 42nd Street, you can walk in and there's some elevators, and they're huge. And they have an entrance there so that when the Barnum and Bailey Circus comes, they can get, because that's how you're getting up there. It's the sixth floor. How the heck are you going to get the elephants up there? So they'd go on there, and one time we went in to play them, and I swear to God, the elephant dung must have still been in the darn. And I'm in that elevator. I'm going, what the heck is this? Good thing we got off the elevator and went on to win. But, Kev, did you go down that hallway to the locker room where the pictures of Muhammad Ali and Frank Sinatra and Billy Joel and all the great, great entertainers that have been there and all that kind of it? There's a lot of nostalgia, and it's just you'd walk on that floor and you look around and see who's there. You know, it's a who's who. And so, it's a great experience. I shared with you in the text that for me to go there, to go to the old Chicago Stadium when Jordan was playing, and for me to go back to the old Boston Garden when Larry Bird and those guys were playing, and lastly, the old Forum in L.A. when Kareem and Magic were playing, you have to say, you're saying, they're all the same. That's a bunch of baloney. When you walked into those places, you went, whoa. It was really, really special.
And where was the old Chicago Stadium? Is it where United?
Oh, right next to the one now. It was just built that one in the parking lot down by Cabrini Green. The trivia thing is when you went there, on the way you used to have a studio. Oprah Winfrey had a studio there for her show.
Oh wow!
And you'd go buy it.
Nice.
And the other thing was that we'd stay downtown near the McCormick Center, and when Jordan was playing, we'd start getting a police escort. And I'd be sitting there in the front seat, and I'm saying to myself, what the heck are we in a rush to get there for? Because our chances to win are slim and none. And I'd see this guy with the cruisers going on. We're riding down, and I'm saying, yeah, thanks a lot for the escort. You're getting really getting us in there really early to get our buns beat.
Yeah, I mean, back in those days, the Bulls were pretty unbeatable, that's for sure. And speaking of the Bulls, a former Bull had a big game last night. Jimmy Butler coming more alive as the game goes on. He finished with 19 points. And here's what Steve Kerr had to say, and then, Saint, you can respond to this, about how the Warriors are looking for Jimmy Butler to attack.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously what we're looking for, is to have, a two-pronged attack, with obviously Steph is, the guy who's going to create a lot of chaos and havoc and come off screens. But we need what Jimmy's doing. 9 free throws tonight. He kind of, just bludgeons people in the lane. His footwork is incredible. My favorite play of the game was his jump stop, the foul at the basket, and let everybody fly by and goes and lays it in. Not many people do that anymore. Anyway, you talk about playing off 2 feet in order to avoid mistakes and turnovers. He epitomizes that. And with that kind of strength, he can envision, he makes that jump stop in the lane, and he can score, he can find shots behind the play. And it's part of why he keeps things calm out there for us. So it's really fun to watch.
Well, I got to share with you that, Steve likes to stir the pot and find out something new in that pot and pull it out. And boy, he's like the magician now, or the mad scientist, trying to figure out how he's going to use him. And he keeps things really calm, whereas the other guys might be in a flurry. And he has what we call basketball sense. You can have a big heart, you can compete, you can have physical tools, but he has a feel for the game that's really high echelon. It's really special. And I love watching him operate. I love the way he initiates contact when he's driving in the paint. I love where everybody's moving around super fast, and he keeps it simple and calm. And he's a perfect... We talked about the puzzle. He's the perfect puzzle piece for this team. And the record kind of puts frosting on the cake with that. He's just and I think he's just, wow, he's got to be enamored playing with Steph. He had a couple post-game comments about him. And, of course, I think Draymond has a little giddy up in his step right now. I think he's really energized. He's really
for sure
excited and playing with him. And then I think he's made the game easier for Podzimski, for Moody, for Hield, all these role guys. The funniest thing I saw last night, Kev, there was a timeout, and I saw Post get double-teamed by Draymond and Butler. And they were trying to tell him what to do. Remember when he went in the paint there a couple times, and he was trying to finish, and he couldn't do it? And they were over there trying to explain things to him. That poor young guy, he had to be mortified. Getting double teamed by those two guys. You got to do this and you got to do that. And I'm watching this kid and I'm saying, holy moly, this, what an experience. But, kudos to him. He didn't have his best game, but he's picking and popping, and Knicks had to honor him, and it created a lot of space in the paint.
Yeah, still a couple of threes. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, John, I see you're on the line. We're up on a break, so we will get to John in Union City. Wants to talk about Jimmy Butler. When we come back, we will also do the ticket giveaway and talk a little bit more about this win over the Knicks right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
We welcome you back to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Let's head out to the phone lines. John is in Union City. What's up, John?
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I just had a question. How's Jimmy Butler have impacted the Warriors' offense this late couple games? I know that the Warriors have been coming up big, trying to win more games before the playoff push.
John, he's just made it a heck of a lot more simple for the Warriors. And we've seen some games, and it's hard on the road to win. And they had a couple dry spells and weren't knocking down any threes. But he just brings stability to what you're doing. It makes sense. And I don't know if that registers with you, but when you get out there and guys have basketball sense, They know when to cut. They know when to drift. They know when to create. And he's just got all those tools. He's just special. Now, you know, we can point out that maybe it was windy at Madison Square Garden, but he's not hitting any threes. And who cares? I don't. Because he's playing D, he's doing a great job on the offensive end, as we talked about, getting to the free throw line. And I just think we should all be very, very, very excited as we go into the last, what, Kev, 20-odd games to the finish line here. And because of his acquisition, I really think, Kev, you made a point earlier, I think, heck with six, I think they can get to five.
Yeah, I think they can get to 5-2, and Jimmy Butler is a big reason why. John, thank you very much for the call. And this is what I'll say to this is how I'll answer your question, John. Look, I know that some people, like, there'd been some talk about, well, Jimmy's not scoring a whole lot after his first three games where he eclipsed 20. He hadn't scored 20 in any of the last seven, including last night, but the talk was more going into that game at Madison Square Garden where he scored 19. But Stephen Curry in his last 10 games, 28.9 points, 6.9 assists, 50% from the field, 42% from three. Jimmy played in nine of those games. That's not a coincidence.
Yep.
So that's all I would say to that. Like, he just makes life easier for everyone out there. And there'll be games he scores 25, perhaps 30 in the playoffs. There'll be games where he scores 8 and dishes out 7 assists and has 6 rebounds and is a plus 15. Like, it's not only just the points for Jimmy Butler. And you mentioned, Gary, how he opens things up for other guys. Well, one of those guys, you mentioned Buddy Hield, and it was a direct result of Jimmy Butler getting him going. They had the three to end the third quarter, and then he was a big stabilizing force in the first part of the fourth quarter, allowed Steph to rest until the 6:33 mark because the Warriors still had the lead in a tight game. And when Jimmy was not in the lineup, you look back to that Philadelphia game where they were just cooked in the non-Steph minutes. That was not the case against the third-best team in the Eastern Conference last night, and Buddy Hield was a big reason why.
Yeah, those are great points. And, you know, I give you an example as a coach. You know, Hield's, what, 1-for-8 at one point there? And you got your assistant saying to you, Coach, you got to take him out. Get him out of there. He's killing us. And you got to give Steve credit. He stayed with him. And sometimes that's not easy to do. But they know that he helps space the floor. And when Steph is out, he gives him a perimeter threat out there. And lo and behold, he made a couple big ones and really helped down the stretch. And I think he's just going to get more and more space because of Jimmy. And you brought out the great point about Jimmy's impact on Steph. Now, look at the rest he got. It was great. They were still able to hold him to 33 minutes, and they kept him out. And you kept saying, when's he coming in? When's he coming in? And they kept him out of there, and then he came back in, and he was like the final scene in the play. You know, okay, here we go. Here comes the key to the game. And lo and behold, he got it going. And that a star is going to make the game easier for other people. And that's exactly what Jimmy Butler's doing right now.
Well, folks, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. So call the contest line at 415-523-4652. If you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on. We're going to be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. Again, the number 415-523-4652. Aim to be caller numero 7. So this win, Saint, puts the Dubs at 3-1 on this road trip. And we talked about it before the road trip started on last week's Warriors Roundtable. 4-1, I thought, should have been a realistic goal. And they have a chance to now accomplish that Thursday in Brooklyn. Yes, they gave away the game against Philly, which they didn't have Jimmy Butler. Obviously, you'd like to play better without Steph on the floor when there is no Jimmy Butler. But that was a bad that was the loss. Quinn Grimes, we'll get into that in a little bit. But the Knicks win was kind of a course corrector that gets them back on track.
Well, you know, on the road, you know, you just don't know going game to game. It's hard out there. And I've often said if you can go 500 on the road, you've had a heck of a year. And so you toss that game aside, and now you go up to New York, and everybody's excited to play in New York. And even the Charlotte game couldn't hit the broad side of the barn. And yet, good, solid team play in a lot of areas, keeping the turnovers down, but creating turnovers to the team, to the opposing team, getting to the free throw line, making free throws. I mean, that was a sore spot till Jimmy came. They were near the bottom, and now they're up near the top. And the same thing with the turnovers. And, you know, it's just been great to see. And that game, coming up against Brooklyn, they've cleaned house. And that's a game you should be able to win. And get to your point, Kev, which we both agreed upon last week, 4-1. And if they do that, boy, that's a great, great achievement.
Yeah, it'd be a fantastic road trip that included a back-to-back and a lot of travel up and down the East Coast. And it's nice the way the Warriors are doing it right now with New York and Brooklyn with a day in between. You can stay in the same hotel for 4 days, and that's awesome for us because you don't normally get that. Now, I think there's a road trip later this year where they're going to stay like 4 or 5 nights in Miami. I'm sure some players are really looking forward to that.
The coach isn't.
Yeah, you could say that again. But to be able to stay in one spot for that long of a time on a road trip, I think probably has to have some ancillary benefits.
Oh, it really does. Now, you know, with a day in between, you might give your vets the day off and just let them get away from it, but yet get your therapy and do your treatments and all that kind of thing. And yet, you know, a lot of times teams practice at the New York Athletic Club, wherever you're staying. And you take your guys, they used to call the end of the bench, they used to call them the Fabulous Five, and take those guys and, you know, run through some offense, do some good stuff with them on the floor. And, oh, by the way, you know, it looked to me like they had a nice birthday party for Draymond last night. And, you know, that's the good stuff that happens on the road.
Yeah, happy 35th birthday to Draymond Green. He turned 35 last night. Got the best birthday present of them all, a win at Madison Square Garden. Well, that was two games after the loss in Philadelphia, which you can just dub the Quentin Grimes game. He had 44 points in that one. And also scored 30 in a game right after that. But to me, the one thing that really stood out, we obviously know Jimmy there. I got this stat from a Danny Emmerman article. He covers the Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News, does a really nice job. He quoted this one website. I'm not sure what it was. But in the pre-Butler era of this season, the Warriors had just 5 games this year where they were 55% on layups and 75% on free throws in the same game. Now, that's happened 8 times in the last 11 games, but this is one where a missed layup kind of killed Golden State. They were down 118-116. Moses Moody misses a layup, and 5 seconds later, Gershon Yabusele hits a three to essentially ice it. But they, without Jimmy Butler, and I know Embiid had just been ruled out for the season, obviously this is a game you feel like you should win on paper. They had their chances, but just didn't take care of the small stuff there.
Well, you know, Grimes comes up there to Philly from Dallas because they weren't going to be able to sign him. He's a free agent. And, my gosh, you know, he looked like Michael Jordan. He was unbelievable. And, you know, once in a while that happens. And they've got a couple other guys that can score the ball. And, you know, they had lost, 9 in a row? And, you know, they yep. packed it in. They put up the white flag. And, but... like I said, you're on the road, and you got to go out there and take care of the business. You just can't take it for granted that you got a depleted opponent, and you're just going to, you know, smack them upside the head. And that is a good lesson to be learned. And for Moody and everybody, you know, that is an art. And I'll tell you a guy who's really elevated his ability to finish at the rim. You know who I'm going to talk about, Steph Curry. Because yes. He was thin and small or whatever we want to say when he came into the league, and maybe the officiating was a little bit more less stringent, and you know, he didn't get into that paint a lot. And if he did, a lot of times in those days, they'd knock you down. And he now, because people are just all over him on the perimeter, you know, trying to put two or three guys on him when he's coming off a screen. And Jimmy Butler made the point, if you set a screen for Steph Curry, because your defender and Steph's defender are going to jump to him, the guy who sets the screen is going to be open. And in Steph's case, he's overplayed so much when you've got passers like Draymond, he gets at least one or two back doors a game. And then when he's crowded, well, what do? When you're crowded, you pump fake and you drive by him, and then he gets in the paint, and he's finishing now with great success.
Let's head back out to the phone lines. TK is in Carmel. What's up, TK?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling the show.
My pleasure. A couple of things. I just wanted to touch on two things. You know, Pods has definitely gotten his confidence back and certainly has the confidence in the team, which has, I think, made a huge impact. And his relationship with Jimmy is pretty obvious on the floor. So I think since Jimmy's come on board, Pods' impact has been as equal as Jimmy's has, which is really exciting for the future.
Well, it's a good point. I think that Jimmy has embraced him, and I think Jimmy embraces guys that play hard, and that's a big thing with him. And then to play smart. Now, that sounds really, really simple, but when you think about it, guys that can – effort is a learned skill. And guys that just play hard every night, boy, they're valuable. And then guys that are smart, they understand their role on the team. And I thought earlier Podzimski was trying to do too much. And I think now with the team pretty darn healthy, except for Kuminga, that he's got a nice defined role. And I think offensively he just has to stay within himself. He doesn't have to create a lot for others. You know, just drift and hit shots, or whether there's an opportunity when the ball swings from strong to weak to put it on the floor and drive and finish or create for others. The two things I love most about his game are his rebounding and his willingness to take charges. That's what I really love about his game.
Yeah, TK, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. And, yeah, he led the NBA in charges drawn last year. Now, he's not at the top this year because he missed a good chunk of time with that abdominal injury suffered right after Christmas or right around Christmas. So, but still taking charges when he's out there and has gotten north of 10 points per game on the season after a slow start. He's had 19 in back-to-back games, had the double-double against the Charlotte Hornets. And speaking of that game, 119-101 win over the Bees on Monday night. And one of the bigger headlines, Anthony Slater writing about in The Athletic, Steve Kerr giving this post-game speech about how the NBA needs to tighten up its whistle on traveling. He got teed up for a non-travel call on LaMelo Ball. We'll talk a little LaMelo as well, but what do you make of Steve's speech? Do you agree with him on the traveling issue in the NBA?
Well, two of his biggest mentors are Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson. And that was kind of a speech that they used to give back in their day. Because they're purists. They love the game. And they want it to be played correctly. And we drift. The NBA drifts a little bit in how they're calling the game. And I think they've done a good job not being as picky and letting guys play a little bit more. I think it's been good for the game. But one of the areas, and, you know, we've got our Euro steps and guys, you mentioned the 2-foot stops and, you know, all those kinds of things. And that's gotten away a little bit from, I think, from the refs. And no better example than Ball last night, a couple nights ago. And I liked it. He gave a great speech. And you know what? He's got respect with a capital R. And that will be followed up. He'll probably talk to Joe Dumars or whoever. In due time, he'll talk to Mike when Dunleavy when he goes to the next competition meeting, and you know they'll pull out examples of it and just talk about hey, we need to get that straightened out for the betterment of our game.
Speaking of LaMelo, I'm curious, having watched him up close in this game, we talked about how he probably didn't deserve to be an all-star, and yeah. I think we were both in agreement in that. There are times it just kind of looks like he's playing a video game out there. There's certainly a lot of flash. You can't say there's no substance because he took the Hornets to the play-in tournament 2 years in a row, and I'm not sure why they fired James Borrego. It looked like he had that team trending in the right direction, and they just kind of they do have a direction now. They're building for the future. I think Charles Lee, the talk around the NBA is that Charles Lee is doing a nice job with that team. It's just you're not going to see the on-court results right now. But what do you see when you watch LaMelo Ball play?
I use the phrase loose. I think his game is very, very loose. I mean, he's just in launch mode. Now, he can make a play that you'll just go, wow, that's terrific. You know, a blind pass or, you know, a pull-up three or a finish at the rim, and you'll say, how did he get that up there? Durability is a concern, and I don't think that is going to be acceptable when you get a better team out there, because it's just kind of playing video games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how his career progresses. Well, after these two wins, the Warriors are in sixth in the West. And when the Warriors kind of stated that goal, I think it was maybe the end of January, early February, when at times they were in 11th place, it seemed a little far-fetched that, yeah, they might only be three games back, but there were a lot of teams to usurp. And they've usurped all those teams. The teams around them are struggling. I mean, the Rockets have lost 3-0. They're only three games back. The Rockets were fifth. The Clippers last night blew a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter to the Suns. That keeps the Warriors, that gives them a game and a half now on the LA Clippers. We'll get into Dallas in a little bit, but that situation has gone all haywire. So I ask you now, should the goal be the five seed, Gary?
I'll come back at you with another question. Why the heck not? You know, you make a great point about the loss column, but I think the Warriors' schedule is a lot easier than the Rockets.
It is.
I see the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and Grizzlies being in the top four. But I think that five spot, I know three in a loss column is a lot. But you're playing such young players down there. And, you know, they credit to them. They've done a great job this year. But I think they're vulnerable. I mean, I watched them play the other night, and Green sat the whole last 17 minutes of the game. I never found out why. And, you know, I look at them, and their point guard play is been up and down because of injuries. And then you got these other guys that are, you know, you love Sengun. You love this, what the heck is his name? The forward, Thompson. I think he's got a super bright future.
Yes.
I think he grew up in Oakland.
And,
you know, I look at this team, and they're going to be tremendous in the future. And are we putting them too fast in the spotlight? Well, maybe so. The team that T-Wolves are playing better, but I think the Warriors can stay in front of them. They're only one game in front of them. As we speak, the Kings are beating Denver, and they're playing terrific without Sabonis. They're playing a lot better. But I think the Kings and the Clippers and will be down there battling for that 9-10 spot. I think those guys will be battling for 9. And the Mavs and Suns, you know, they're going to fight for 10. I don't know what the heck's going to happen there. But
yeah,
I'm really positive about the Warriors for the playoffs. And I'll tell you one thing, Kev. I wouldn't want to play them.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play a healthy Steph, a healthy Draymond, a healthy Jimmy Butler. Yeah, no, thank you. I'm curious what your thoughts are on how the 10 seed goes down. Right now, the Dallas Mavericks are getting pasted by 28 against the Bucks. Kyrie Irving tears his ACL. They make this move to get rid of Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis injures himself three quarters into his Mavs debut. They're not going to have Kyrie Irving until like maybe the next All-Star break next year with a torn ACL, just kind of projecting out. I was listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Tim Bontemps said they should trade Anthony Davis and just kind of cut their losses. I mean, what do you do with this team if you're Dallas right now? And can they hold on to the eight seed? I mean, the Portland Trailblazers are only like four games back now, too.
You know, they thought they were making a move to really contend for the championship. They thought that they had their cornerstone in Kyrie, and they thought they were going to be a terrific defensive team with their size in the front line. And now you look at them, and so what do you do now if you're the owner and the GM? And I think Kyrie's going to be 33 in 2 weeks, I think it is. And
yeah.
Are you going to give him a five-year max deal? What are you going to do there, negotiate? Because Nico Harrison gave this speech about him, and you know, I thought he was talking like he was talking about Kobe Bryant. I don't know if you read it, Kev, but it was just unbelievable praise for him. And I got to tell you, a couple places that Kyrie's been, it hasn't been all peaches and cream. So they think he's their guy, and like you said, he's going to be a long time coming back. And, you know, Davis the last 2 years has played a lot. But that injury, that adductor injury, that's very, very susceptible to re-tearing or pulling. And he's got a history of not playing a lot. So now you're banking on these two guys that are older, that miss games. And who's to say that Davis is going to want to stay there? So they went from a team in the conference finals with Luka and those guys, and it was all terrific, and the fans were all excited. Now you got people that are walking out of that place. So, boy, that is a big mess.
It really is. You feel for the fans there in Dallas, feel like they've had their heart.
Yeah, and then they raised the tickets 8.5%.
Yeah. They raised the tickets 8% for season tickets for next year. Hours later, Kyrie Irving tears his ACL. I mean, just it has been cosmically bad for the Dallas Mavericks. It really has. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to take a look ahead to the final 20 games. Monty Poole wrote an article on NBC Sports Bay Area breaking down the final 20 games. We're going to use his criteria, and we'll take a look ahead at the Brooklyn Nets as well. Right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that,
chicken.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Got another 12 minutes or thereabouts here on Warriors Roundtable. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 888-957-9570. Kevin Anna, Gary St. Jean with you. So Monty Poole wrote this article kind of breaking down what it'll take the Warriors to get the sixth seed, which they have right now. They're percentage points ahead of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who they do have the tiebreaker with, both teams six games above .500 right now after the Minnesota Timberwolves defeated the Hornets tonight. But so he breaks down the final 20 games into three categories: what would be considered a great win, what would be considered a good win, and what would be considered a painful loss. So let's break this down by each category, and I kind of want to hear, Saint, what you're thinking as far as kind of what they can do in each category. So in the great win category, there are seven games. If they were to win these games, they would be considered great wins, according to Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area. They play Denver twice. They host Milwaukee. They're at Memphis. They're at the Lakers. And they host Houston and the Clippers. How many of those games do you think they can win?
I think quite a few, and I don't know when they play them. You know, Denver's playing pretty darn well. I don't know if one is home or in both away or whatever, but when you play there, man, That is a big, big difference, the elevation. Milwaukee's 10 games over 500. They're kind of finding themselves. Even though Portis is out, they're playing well. Memphis has Jackson out with a sprained ankle. The Lakers have been terrific at home. That'll be a tough game to win down there. Lucas rounding into form, and we talked about Houston already. And the Clippers have really missed Powell. That's been a major loss for them for the last 8 to 10 games. And Kawhi Leonard played one really good game, maybe his best game of the year against the Lakers when they played back-to-back. But I just don't think he's the same defender. I think Zubac's playing really well. But I think they're going to slide a little, and the Warriors are going to say bye-bye.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna put a number four on that. I'm gonna say 4-3.
Let's see, so there's
against
two,
the seven.
Three, four, five, six, seven. Four out of seven.
Yes.
All right, I like that. That's good, Kev.
So
I
four
like
out
that.
Of seven. You split Denver. Worst case scenario, you lose both at Memphis and at the Lakers, and you take care of Milwaukee, Houston, and the Clippers at home. All right,
I like
what would
it.
Be considered. So 4-3 in that category. Good win category would be they play Portland twice. Detroit once, Sacramento, New York at home, at Miami, at Phoenix. Out of those seven games, how many do you think the Warriors can win there?
Well, right away, I'm going to say that top line with Detroit, Portland twice, and Sacramento, you're playing three teams that right now are playing very good basketball. And you would say to yourself, geez, you got Detroit and Portland twice, that's three wins. And Sacramento coming down, maybe that's another win. I think maybe you get three there. I think you beat New York.
I agree.
I'm concerned about Miami. You're there so long, and I don't know where that is in the trip. And Phoenix might be have folded the tent. They might be out in the desert by the time they play them. So I can see probably 5-6 wins here.
Yeah, so the Miami game is the second game of a five-game road trip. They play the Hawks on March 22nd, then March 25th at Miami, and March 28th at New Orleans. So that's how they get like 4 or 5 nights in Miami.
Kev, as a coach and general manager, you can arrange it that the team stays an extra day in Atlanta. Now, the players aren't going to be happy about that.
They're going to be happy about that.
You go to Miami, and Jimmy's going to be wanting to take everybody out to the best spots in town. So that's just the history of the NBA in Miami. We can't tell all the stories about what's going on there.
I'm going to say perhaps your team had a few schedule losses in Miami, over the years.
Oh boy!
So I'm looking at those seven games, and I agree with you. I think you take 3 out of 4 from the Detroit. 2 against Portland, 1 against Sacramento. Yep. And I think maybe you go 2-1 against New York, at Miami, at Phoenix. So that would be 5-2. And so that's 9-5 through the great win and good win column. And then the painful loss, you're looking at Brooklyn, which is tomorrow, Toronto at home, at Atlanta, at New Orleans, and twice against the Spurs. That's 6 games there. I'm going to say 5-1. I think if you catch Atlanta on the wrong night, maybe they've gotten you in the past. New Orleans, you catch them on the wrong night. I mean, if Zion goes for 37, which he did last night, had an incredible poster dunk. So I'm going to go 5-1 there. What do you think?
I'm with you. And New Orleans, that guy, the rest of their team is just, they're at Mardi Gras. But he played phenomenal last night. The Spurs, decimated with the loss of Wemby. They'll play hard. You got to watch out with them. They got a lot of pride. And Atlanta, they're going to be 10 games under 500, and they're going to wind up being in the play-in. I'm with you. 5-1 works there. And what the heck does that take the record to? It must be pretty darn good.
So that would be 14-6 if they reach those benchmarks, and that would be 48-34. And Monty Poole, in his article,
great.
Wrote, "Yeah, that would that would definitely get you the sixth seed, I would think. And, oh, yeah. And Monty Poole wrote in his article, if you go 9-5 in the great win, good win category, that would get you the sixth seed. And that's kind of what we were thinking here. You go 9-5 in those 14, go 5-1, maybe stumble once against one of those lesser teams. You're at 48-34, and considering this team was, what, 27-27, it's not a bad place to be. That would mean you'd go, what, 21-7 over your last 28 games as a 750 clip. So, yeah, I would take that.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a heck of a piece of work by Monty. And let me sing his praise. You know, I worked with him for a number of years at NBC Sports. Upbeat attitude.
Yep.
Really knowledgeable about the NBA and a gifted writer. And I would go so far as to say I think he's one of the best in the country. He makes everybody else look weak to me in the Bay Area. I just can't say enough about the guy. And his family members always made us homemade chocolates at the Christmas holiday. So
nice.
I always would steal a couple. They were absolutely magnificent. So I have great feelings about Monty.
Speaking of Christmas chocolates, have you ever had one of Tim Roy's chocolate peanut butter chocolate balls? I'm not sure what the exact phrasing is there.
Well, you know, listen, I'm the guy that told him to come down to the Warriors. He was with me with the Kings, and he got the offer. And you'd think he'd say, you know, Saint, would you like one of my Christmas holiday candies? The son of a gun never offered me one.
Oh, man. Oh, you
and
are
I'm
missing
the only
out.
Guy that knows he's from Windsor, Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah. Where's that New England connection?
There you go, baby. Come on.
It's like it's maybe the best Christmas candy I've ever had. Now,
oh boy,
Monty Poole's family's candies. I'll have to.
Hey,
I'll have to get on him about that.
Tell him that Saint said his nickname is Sammy Selfish.
Sammy Selfish. Okay, I will certainly do that. I hope to run into him at the Pistons game on Saturday. But let's spend the last couple of moments here talking about the Brooklyn Nets. Look, they're 21-40. They've lost 5 in a row. But remember, they were the team that erased an 18-point deficit at Chase Center to beat the Warriors earlier this year.
Yeah.
And they did just get Cam Thomas back after a hamstring strain kept him out for a couple of months. And this is a dude who has one thing on his mind, and it's putting the biscuit in the basket.
Well, we were talking about Ball with Charlotte. So now you're going segue over here to Thomas. As you said, he hasn't found any shot past half court that he doesn't like. It's been consistent. When he wasn't playing and coming off the bench, he didn't care. He got in there, bombs away. I mean, you better watch out. And that's been pretty darn consistent. So, yeah, you know, you got to make him a driver and take away his quick first looks. The guy that I like for that team, and I think he was on the market, but I think that they were just asking too much for him, is Cameron Johnson. I think he's the best player on their team. And I think they were asking for multiple firsts. D'Angelo Russell, back there for a second tour. He likes it there. And you got to watch out with him. He's very, very, very streaky. He makes his first couple, you can have problems. Keep him quiet, put somebody really good defensively on him, and you know you can keep him in check. But that's a game. Hey, don't give him a chance to believe they can win. You know, keep your foot right on the brake there, and don't let him get going. I think the Warriors will do that in that game. Kev, you're going to like that that arena. That is special.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to Barclays.
It's beautiful.
It looks awesome. It'll be my first time there. Really looking forward to it. Of course, you can listen to that game on 95.7. The game will have coverage for you starting at 4 p.m. Pacific with myself on the call. Tip time is at 4:30 p.m. back in the Bay Area. That'll just about do it for us. Do want to say quickly, the Santa Cruz Warriors are at Chase Center on Sunday. They take on Juan Toscano-Anderson and the Mexico City Capitanas. And shout out to Pat Spencer, the Warriors converting his contract from a two-way contract to a standard contract. And Braxton Key gets the extra two-way contract that was opened up with Pat Spencer's conversion. So congrats to those those guys. That will do it for us tonight. A big thank you to R.C. Davis on the Warriors side of things for helping get us organized. Mark Grandy behind the glass for us in our 95.7 The Game studios. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dennis saying sayonara. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.